All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's wonderful to be back together learning, and we are moving on to a new topic this afternoon at the BRS Men's Afternoon Kollel. And a great thank you to all of our sponsors, Mefrolech Financial Group. It's a fascinating topic. It's a topic that now that BRS has reopened, not to everybody, we understand not everyone can come, and we look forward to and long for the return of all. But it's a topic that when the shul is open in full force, particularly the men's section and women's section, is somewhat of a controversial topic. And that is the following. Here is the cover page of this source sheet. You could follow along in my screen sharing here online. I'm happy to share the source sheets with anyone as well. It's way too cold in shul. It's way too hot in shul. Who has the halachic right to determine the setting on the thermostat? Now, the truth is, this is an age-old shaila in shul where there's a debate. Some are too cold, some are too hot. Some keep pumping it up, some keep pumping it down. But it's not reserved only to shul. This age-old debate and power struggle exists often within the home, exists often between different genders as well. And what we'll examine today is, who has the halachic right to the thermostat? Now, in a shul setting, an institutional setting, we take care of that in a very simple way. And that is, we simply put a lockbox over the thermostat, and therefore prevent anyone from controlling it other than us. But who has the right? Who has the right to it? So, we'll start with the question of, what happens when there's this disagreement? Do you follow the majority? Do you follow the minority? Do you worry about who the majority or minority are? What if they're one impacted by it being too hot or too cold, is elderly or is infirm? Should we make it too hot or too cold, even if someone would daven at home as a result? Even if it would be someone uncomfortable that they wouldn't come to shul anymore because it would be too hot or too cold. Can you ask a non-Jew if it's too hot or too cold in shul or in your home to adjust the thermostat in order to make it more comfortable? So these are some of the dinim, some of the laws having to do with a thermostat and controlling the temperature. We begin source number one is the Shulchan Aruch, Simen, Kuf Ayin Vav. Shulchan Aruch says the following. Baratzos karos mutar leinu Yehudi lasas medura b'shvil haketanim, u'mutar magedon lehischamim bo. The Shulchan Aruch rules that in cold lands, this is mislabeled, it's not 176, it's Resh Ayin Vav, Sif Hey. Sorry, it's mislabeled, 276.5. Shulchan Aruch rules that in cold lands, you could ask a non-Jew to light a fire in the house if it's exceedingly cold. U'mutar magedol leschamim bo. And once you're lighting the fire in order to protect the vulnerable, the minors, the children in the home, then even adults can warm themselves next to that fire. V'afilu b'shvil agedol mutar imakur gadol. And even to light the fire, to ask a non-Jew to light the fire, for specifically in order to keep adults warm, is permissible if it is a kor gadol. If it's very, very cold, if it's frigid. Why? Here the Shulchan Aruch is working off a halachic principle. She'ako cholim etzel hakor. When it comes to cold, everyone has the status of being a chola. A chola, she'im basakan, everybody has the status of being a chola. I look like I'm perfectly healthy. I pass every barometer, every test, every measure of being in good health. But when a person is exposed to cold, they don't have to wait in order to the diagnosis that they're sick. We assume, hako cholim, everybody is sick, etzatzina, when it comes to cold weather, whether they in fact have been afflicted from the cold or not yet. And the Shulchan Aruch rejects and says, this is not like those who have a little discomfort, and where there's a little deviation in the temperature, and they therefore want to be lax and lenient and ask the non-Jew. You can't ask the non-Jew unless it's what the Shulchan Aruch characterizes as a kor gadol. If it's exceedingly cold, if it's a special level of cold, then you can ask the non-Jew. This is all based on a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, the Daf Yomi, will get to it soon. And Daf Kuf Chav Tesam and Aleph says that a non-Jew can do malacha on behalf of a sick individual, even a chola she'ein basakana. You don't have to be sick to the point that your life is threatened. You can be sick to the point that you have a flu, you have a cold, you're debilitated, but you're not life-threatened. Even an individual who's characterized as a chola she'ein basakana can ask a non-Jew to do malacha for such a person. And the Rama writes that this applies to all ketanim. The ketanim, any minors were considered, at least in antiquity, to be a very fragile population, and because of their fragility, they were considered to be sick even when they were healthy. So a katan, even when they're healthy, is considered to be a chola she'ein bo sakana, even a katan who is healthy. Now, do you apply that today? And to what age do you apply that? Shulchan Aruch here too writes you could light the fire b'shvil hakatanim, for children, because all children are considered to be a chol l'shem basakana. Until what age? So Diane Weiss wants to demonstrate that child from 9 and up is defined as a, up to 9 rather, is defined as a chola. 9 and under, or 8 and under, is defined as a chola she'emba sakana. The Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer of Oldenburg disagrees, and he says a child has a status of chola only until the age of 6. A small child, an undeveloped child, a child who's not yet matured physically and in every other way, that's who's fragile, that's who's vulnerable. But otherwise, they are not. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, a child is regarded as a chola only until the age of 2 or 3. You're talking about a baby, you're talking about an infant. That's when they have a default status of being a chola she'ein ba sakana. So there's a big machlokas haposkim. What does it mean that ketanim are considered a chola she'ein ba sakana? Up until what age is a big machlokas between the minchas Yitzchak, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and others who weigh in on this, others who weigh in on this as well. So Shulchan Aruch says, for ketanim, you could light a fire, and then once it's lit for the ketanim, for the minors, adults can also warm. But if it's really cold, then the non-Jew can even light the fire for the purpose of the adults. Here, the Mishneh Berurah adds, do you have to hint? Mishneh Berurah writes, v'hu adin lahasik tana b'sachoref, talking about lighting an oven, the furnace during the winter, since the non-Jew is really doing the malacha for the sake of the minor, if it's for both, it's a problem. It really has to be for the children, and once it's lit for the children, then the adults can benefit. Mutter, says the Mishneh Berurah, we're not talking here, you have to hint. It's not biramiza. You don't have to come up with some charades. You don't have to come up with some code. But you're allowed to explicitly tell the non-Jew, it is freezing cold, can you light the fire? For the child, if it's even a little bit cold, and for adult, if it is exceedingly cold, you don't have to hint or allude. You're even allowed to explicitly instruct the non-Jew. Why? Because everyone is a chola neged hakor. Everyone has the status of being sick when it comes to the cold, when it comes to the cold weather. Rav Moshe Feinstein expands on this. And in Igros Moshe and Aruch Chaim Chelek Gimel, Rav Moshe Simon Membei says the following. In Mutar Lomar L'Nachri L'Hafsik, Ha'air Conditioner, Kishenasa Yom Kar B'Shabbos L'Tzorach Rabim. Okay, Shulchan Aruch talked about, can he light the furnace in order to warm? Because if one is exposed to the cold, they don't have to wait to get sick to have the status of being sick. They already have the status of being sick even before you get sick, because everyone's sick when it comes to the cold. So I wonder, Rav Moshe, can you ask a non-Jew, what happened? You set the AC at 70 degrees, you thought it was going to be a hot, steamy, and humid summer day. Turns out, out of nowhere, crazy cold spell hits Boca Raton, Habaleinu Latova, Mirtz Hashem. So a crazy cold spell comes, and lo and behold, on Shabbos morning, you wake up, and it's 62 degrees, and now your air conditioner is blowing. Can you ask the non-Jew, can you raise the thermostat on my air conditioner? That's the question of Rav Moshe. B'davar mekarer ha'avir, air conditioner, shebebeis ha'kinesas, shema'amidim be'erv Shabbos she'imuchubar l'mor sho'os ba'ofen, she'nifte labar me'atzmo kodim ha'tvila shacharis. You set the air conditioner as a thermostat, you set it on a timer for it to go on before davening. V'nizgar me'atzmo achar tvila. Now Rav Moshe was talking about not our sophisticated air conditioners with excellent thermostats, because theoretically, you would set it at a temperature you're comfortable with, and no matter how cold the weather was outside, it wouldn't kick in, and so on and so forth. Rav Moshe was talking about the old-fashioned stick-it-in-the-wall air conditioner that's either on or off, low, medium, or high, and has no thermostat to it. So you put it on a timer. Remember the old days? You had the air conditioner in the hole in the wall, or you put it in the window and hope it didn't fall out on top of somebody's head down on the street level. So it didn't have a thermostat. It just had a setting. And you'd have to attach it to a timer in order for it to go on to be comfortable in the hours that you'd be in the same area as the air conditioner. So they had one of these old-fashioned air conditioners in shul, and they set it to go on before davening and to go off after davening. But as Dan mentioned, this Chalif HaAvir B'Shabbos Mikvi Shai B'Erev Shabbos Shenasa Yom Kar. People are in shul. Turns out you set the timer. The air conditioner is pumping cold air, and it's 62 degrees. People are freezing cold. No matter how much they wrap themselves in their talus, no matter how much they put the talus over their head, they're freezing. And what are they doing? They're out of there like Vladimir. They're going home. They're leaving shul. So Rav Moshe was asked, It's causing people to be sick. So can you knock on the custodian's door and say, would you mind, Junior, can you come into the shul? The air conditioner we left on the timer, can you turn it off? We're freezing cold, people are leaving, we're getting sick. That was the question. Shulchan Aruch framed this whole conversation in the context of, can you light a fire? Shulchan Aruch talked about, it's cold, children, even if it's a minor cold, and adults, if it's exceedingly cold, extremely cold, you can ask the non-Jew to light a fire. You don't have to hint, you can explicitly instruct. What about the opposite? The air conditioner is blowing, and equally you're going to get sick. Can you ask them to turn an air conditioner off, just like you can ask them to turn the fire, to light the fire on? Says Rav Moshe, even if no one's going to get sick, but it's so uncomfortably cold that people are walking out. They're leaving. And even if it's not the majority leaving, even if it's only the minority, or maybe everybody's sitting there and their teeth are chattering and they're shaking, but they're going to take one for the team. They're going to be moser nefesh for davening with a minyan. So they say, nobody's leaving. We're all going to persevere. It's a shul of survivors. We were in Siberia. We experienced much worth. We'll make it through this cold day where the air conditioner is pumping. But still, if people are going to get sick as a result, even if they're trying to be heroic, can you then? So says Rav Moshe, Mutter Lomar Lenachri, Sheyafzik Zerama Electric, Kedil Hafzik Akor. In both circumstances, whether a minority of people are leaving, or even if everybody's staying, but they're going to get sick, you can explicitly ask the non-Jew. Even though you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to light a candle for the purpose of the meal, even if it's for a great reason. However, here there's a difference. When you're at home and for the ambiance to see your meal, to want to appreciate the fine cooking, you want to ask the non-Jew to light a candle, that you shouldn't do. But here it's Sorech Rabim. So Amir La'akim, which is a Dinder Abana, not asking a non-Jew to do something that you can't do yourself, which is a rabbinic prohibition, Hey Mamre Vehey Mamre, the rabbis never instituted their prohibition, B'makom Rabim, when it's going to affect, and it's going to negatively affect a Rabim. Therefore, Mikom HaKom Tzorech Mitzvah D'Rabim Ein La'achim, Mekedis Mishneh Burasham, This is a fascinating, in our context, we can appreciate this. Rav Moshe is placing such a premium. Rav Moshe here is saying, what a value to davening with a minyan. What a value to hearing Kriyas HaTorah. So much so that even though ordinarily we would even in extreme circumstances tell you, you can't ask a non-Jew to do something for you, but in order to enable the tzibur to daven with a minyan, ooh-ah, we know what it's like. If you would have said this to me 4 months ago, I would have thought you're from another planet. I was born in an age and in a generation, we have the luxury of davening with a minyan whenever we want. To think that Pesach, and for a good 6 weeks, 2 months, there wasn't a minion on the planet Earth, on the globe, maybe not a minion to be found. Here Rav Moshe talks about maintaining tefillah b'tzibur, to have a minion, kriyas haTorah, to hear the Torah read, you could ask a non-Jew to do malacha. So sacrosanct, so significant, so special, so valuable, you could ask the non-Jew. Says Rav Moshe, because I'll tell you, in addition to the fact that Amir La'akum is only Dinder Rabbanon, asking the non-Jew is only a rabbinic prohibition, but on top of that, it's not so clear that unplugging or stopping a flow of electricity is a Dinder Raisa. It's not so clear it's biblically prohibited. Even if it is Daraisa, but L'Tzorach Mitzvah, to hear the Torah read, to Davin B'Tzibur, Pasa Kena Ramah, you should not set it up to begin with, says Rav Moshe. Don't set it up to begin with that, leave it off, maybe it'll be cold, and if it's hot, we'll ask the non-Jew to turn it on. Don't set it up to begin with to rely on the fact that you're going to ask the non-Jew. But if you check the weather, and it looked like it was going to be hot, and a cold spell came out of nowhere, in order to prevent people from leaving, and to have tefillah b'tzibur and kriyas haTorah, and in order to make sure nobody gets sick, then you can ask the non-Jew. So, Yedido Mevorcho, says Rav Moshe, it's mutter. So, number one, Shulchan Aruch said, for Ketanim, if it's cold, you could light a fire, you could ask an Adur to light the fire explicitly. For Gedolim, if it's extremely cold, you could even ask for adults to light the... Why? Hakocholi Eitz Al Kar, everybody's considered sick when it comes to the cold. Says Rav Moshe, would you apply that in the reverse? If it's freezing cold because it's an air conditioner, would you be allowed to ask the Adur to turn it off? Says Rav Moshe, yes. If it will preserve Tefillah B'Tzibur, if it will preserve Kriyas HaTorah, if it will prevent people from getting sick, yes. All this is in shul. Why? Says Rav Moshe, what's happening in shul? Mitzvah derabim. In shul, you're talking about a community, tzorach rabim. What about at home? So here Rav Moshe has a footnote. And this damin zeh b'bayis yachid, ba'ofen shebechol ha'bayis kar, mutar mitam acher. What about in your home? It's freezing cold in your home, and your housekeeper, who of course is wearing a mask and distancing, has checked out and has taken 14 tests, and it's okay to have her in your home. So your housekeeper's there. Can you ask the housekeeper, you know, it's freezing cold, could you raise the AC a little bit? We're all going to get sick. So Rav Moshe says yes, for a different reason. Why? Because everybody's sick when it comes to the cold. Now, you wouldn't apply that reason in the shul, says Rav Moshe. Why? Because in a shul, you don't have to be in shul. If you're really going to get sick by staying there, then you should leave. But you don't have the luxury of leaving home. Home is where you live. It's where you belong. So since everybody's considered to be sick, lagabe the cold, if the air conditioning is pumping in your home where it's going to make everybody cold, then you're allowed to ask the non-Jew. You don't have to hint. You don't have to allude. You can explicitly ask the non-Jew, could you raise the temperature? It's freezing in here. People are going to get sick. Okay, so that is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, the Menchaz Yitzchak, disagrees. And he says, he doesn't disagree, let me rephrase that. He says, not only can you ask the non-Jew to turn off the air conditioner to make it warmer if you're too cold, what about the opposite case? Here in Florida, we're more likely to have the opposite case. What happens? The air conditioning is not set low enough, and the heat comes in. It's a hot spell, not a cold spell, and it's unbearably hot. It's oppressively hot. It's oppressive humidity. Can you ask the non-Jew to lower the temperature? It's not that it's too cold and you're asking him to raise it. It's that it's too hot. Can you ask them to lower it? Is that also permissible? So here, Dayan Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak, says, yes, not only can you ask them to turn it off because you're too cold, you could ask them to turn it on because you are too hot. Why? Because he says that is a parallel din. Just like HaKol Cholim Eitzel, it's a core, everybody's considered sick when it comes to the cold. Similarly, hakol cholam etzel chom. Today, everybody's sick when it comes to the heat. The truth is, any physicians who are online with us right now, in the Zoom, when people are hot, if a person, depending on their age, depending on their vulnerability, if it's too hot, if it's too humid, you could dehydrate, you could pass out, you could fall. If it's too hot, not just the discomfort, but you are hakol cholam. Just like the default is everybody's sick when it comes to the cold, so says Rav Dayan Weiss, everybody's sick when it comes to the heat as well. He would apply the same principle of Rav Moshe based on the Shulchan Aruch in the reverse. The one who says it as well, we'll look at it inside, says it a little bit more succinctly, is Rav Moshe Sternbach. Tshuvas van Hargos. The great Rav Moshe Sternbach, Rav of South Africa, today the Edah Haredis in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Sternbach says the following, Lahafil Mizog Avir, Kar b'yom cham ma'od ayde akum b'shabbos. What happens? I get the shayla once a month. In the summer, once a week. Somebody's AC breaks on Shabbos. Can they ask a non-Jew to call the AC company to come fix it? Who hasn't had this shayla? Your AC breaks. You were lazy. You didn't change the filter. The system clogged up. The drain didn't drain. It froze over. The AC stops working. Can you ask a non-Jew to call the AC company to come fix the air conditioner in the summer? That's the question. Can you ask the non-Jew to lower the AC? Can you ask them to come fix it? Says Rav Sternbach the following. Misvara amina keshem she'etira yidei akum l'chamim b'shabas kesha'akor gadol she'akol cholam eitzotzina reshayin vav gam kan im chom ma'odim izbata me'onik shabas shemar yesh tzar rav mechom muta la'akum lasos lo malacha. Just like we have a principle a kol cholam when it comes to cold, so too we have a principle that everybody's sick. Even if you're not sick, you'll become sick. If you sit in that stifling room, if you're in Boca Raton, Florida right now in June, and your AC is not working in your home, and you're going to sit in that home, you will get sick. You'll dehydrate, you'll get dizzy, you'll pass out. And therefore, says Rav Sternbach, using the same principle of the Shulchan Aruch, that Rav Moshe used in the reverse, you can ask a non-Jew. The Gemara did not say everybody's sick when it comes to heat. They said everybody's sick when it comes to tzina, cold. What's the reason that you're a chola? Because you're experiencing a great discomfort, a tzar gadol. In kain, loshna. Therefore, there should be no difference, cold or heat. So it means don't rely on that. If your air conditioning is on the fritz, don't say, we'll go into Shabbos, and if we have to, we'll call the non-Jew. Don't say, you know what? I want to save a few dollars. Set the AC high. If we're too hot, we'll ask the non-Jew to lower it. You should not position yourself or set yourself up to begin with that you're going to rely on Amir La'akam. It's a very serious din, even though it's Dirabonan. You shouldn't present yourself, you shouldn't position yourself that you're going to rely on asking the non-Jew. But if lo and behold, you did everything correctly, and it turns out it's hotter than you expected, or the air conditioner didn't kick in, or the air conditioner is broken, then you'd be allowed to. Rak b'chim ma'idei k'chol sh'yef sh'bod yom, v'nogu bo'heta idei nachri, hachanami l'hatel and pitom olam o'od achom, ba'ofen sh'yef sh'alas l'adas me'erev Shabbos. Only if it got so hot, you couldn't have anticipated it. Only if the air conditioning is not working, it's not responding. Only if it's broken and you need to bring in a repairman. You need to bring in a repairman. Somebody asks here in the chat, Rabbi Brand, what if the repairman will not come until Sunday or Monday? So I don't know if you know that when you ask the non-Jew to call. I think that it has to be when you ask the non-Jew to call, they're calling because you hope they're going to come on Shabbos. It's a tzar for Shabbos. If you know lechatchila, your air conditioning person will never ever come until Sunday or Monday, then ostensibly, I don't know why there would be a heter, let's say, to call, unless you're putting the process in motion. But I'm not sure that affects Shabbos. The whole thing is the tzar on Shabbos. Umiyu ein lamar lahati ala ba'ofen shecham ba'od. However, he qualifies it, says Rav Sternbach. The only time you should be mekel and matir is if it's really exceedingly hot. But tzar ba'amal osagish, davka b'tzina gron choli v'lachenit. You want to lower it one temperature. You want to lower it 1 degree. You want to raise it 1 degree because you really want to save some money. That's not a reason to violate Amir La'akam. Av b'chom ha'birak tzar v'lo yitir shvus b'mokam tzar. Av tzar godli yesh la'atir. Sof davar, says Rav Sternbach, the bottom line is, if you could have properly set the thermostat, you could fix the AC on Friday, do it on Friday. But if you forgot, or you couldn't have anticipated the heat wave, then you'd be allowed to ask the non-Jew. And, while Rav Sternbach doesn't say it explicitly, neither does Rav Moshe, but relying on the Mishnah Berurah's interpretation of the Shulchan Aruch, not only would you be allowed to ask the non-Jew, but you'd be allowed to explicitly ask the non-Jew, and you wouldn't have to hint or allude to them at all. Okay, so far we saw, Shulchan Aruch said you can light a fire to protect children on Shabbos if it's very cold. If it's really cold, even for adults, you could ask the non-Jew to light the fire. You don't have to hint, you could ask them explicitly. Rav Moshe said the same thing, you could ask them to turn off the air conditioning. And Diane Weiss and Rav Sternbach went a step further and said, you could even ask the non-Jew to lower the thermostat. You could even ask the non-Jew to come fix it if it is broken. Good. Rav Mendel Silber, in the Tshuvas Mosnei Tzedek, the Abbez and the Satmar adds, you can certainly be lenient if the reason you're turning on the air conditioner is Letzorach Mitzvah. So let's say that the only way you could daven in the room and have Kriyas HaTorah, the only way that you'll be able to sit and learn, the only way that you can have your Shabbos Suda, your Shabbos meal in that room, is if it's cool enough to tolerate. So if it's Tzorach Mitzvah, all the more so he throws in, you'd be allowed to ask the non-Jew explicitly to turn on the air conditioning, to lower the thermostat, to come fix it. Tzorach Mitzvah. And Shabbos, I think just existing is Tzorach Mitzvah. To be comfortable, to be cool, Shabbos nap, Shabbos reading, Shabbos board game, Shabbos miros. To experience Shabbos is to experience good. Okay, so that is, first of all, just the question overall of the air conditioning, what you're allowed to ask the non-Jew when things go wrong with your air conditioning. But now let's go over to our core question, and at least begin it this week. And the core question was, who gets to control the thermostat? The one who's too hot or the one who's too cold? Who do we defer to? Who has the higher moral ground? So Rav Vosner has a tshuva. Rav Vosner, Rav Shmuel Vosner, born 1913, passed away a few years ago. The great Shevet Alevi, source number 6. And he says the following. He says the difference between a fan or opening a window or an air conditioner, it's not all created the same. He says, Asher shal binyan kviyas mazgan bebeis haknesses, asher ruba menem tzoyim sham nen mizeh. You install an air conditioner, and most of the people in the shul, geschmack, they want it nice and cold. Most people, they want to hear the Torah, they're going to daven, they want it in a little fridge, a little cold. Omnam yeshna lefamim, you have tamid chachamim v'zakenim v'cholim she'enichol l'zbokir ha'mazgan. You have different populations, younger people, heavier people, different people, people who've walked a further distance to get to shul, they want it nice and cold, an ice box. Then you have some older people. You have some people who are thinner, maybe more frail, less meat on their bones. That cold air conditioning goes right to their bones. So they want it to be a little bit warmer. They can't tolerate the cold. So they open the windows to let the hot air in, and now they're causing discomfort and pain to the people who want it cold. Now you have a secondary problem. When you open the windows, you're bleeding the shul money because you're running the air conditioning for nothing. You should be in my home. Every time my kid opens the door and leaves the door open for more than half a second, I go, close the door, the air conditioning is all going out. You know what that costs every moment the door is open? Chas v'shalom, I don't yell. I very gently remind them that they meant to close the door so that the air conditioning doesn't escape. So Rav Ozner says, you got this competing comforts here. The ones who want it cold, they're pumping the AC down. The ones who want it warmer, they're opening the windows to let the warm air in. Who rules the day? Which group gets to decide? If what you're doing is going to negatively impact or injure, damage another, then the injured party, the potentially damaged party, is the one who has priority. And a chazaka, even though I've established a pattern that I'm entitled to behave in this way, my pattern doesn't supersede the injury or damage caused to the other. There is talking about a case where a person has a profession, or I'll give you just an easy example. The person has a band, and they want to have band practice in their apartment. But the band practice in their apartment is going to give migraine headache to the neighbor. So who gets to win? The neighbor who's going to get the migraine headache, or the person who within their own space is going to have their band practice? So who wins? The injured party, if it's within reason. If the party is going to be injured by the behavior of the other party, they are the priority. And here, you don't say to somebody, well, go find another shul. The person is an equal shutuf. They're a member of the shul. They have an equal right to have access to the shul. So if you're pumping down the AC to make it frigidly cold, is going to make them sick, is going to preclude them from participating, and therefore you are essentially denying them their membership right, their ability to be there. They're the injured party. And therefore, that's the first point he makes, number one. Number two, He says, today it's not so pashut, because it's not like it's normative to not have the air conditioning, and now you're introducing the air conditioning. Having an air conditioning space today is what's normal. So on the one hand, it's normal to want to be cool and comfortable. On the other, you do have to be sensitive to the people who would be precluded. Somebody who's very old or frail could literally be very sick if it's too cold. But when you open the window, even though other people will be uncomfortable and wish it were cooler, you're probably not going to make them sick. So the person who says, don't put on the AC, don't put on the air conditioning, is going to get sick if you put on the air conditioning. Person who says don't open the window is not going to get sick if you open the window. They'll just be uncomfortable. So maybe the priority should be on the one who would get sick, not on the one who would be uncomfortable. So maybe the answer is open the window a little bit where you are. Let the other person benefit from the air conditioning. And you sit near the window that's cracked open a little bit so you get a little bit of relief. If the other person is truly an equal partner in their membership in shul, you're not allowed to prevent them from opening the window. But you have to find the equilibrium. They're equal members, equal rights to their own comfort. The one who would get sick supersedes and trumps the one who just is looking for their comfort. Vayim pischei tshuva, shem alavush, tekshem b'cheder echad, kshem b'cheder echad, or b'bayis hachorof, achas, efshar limcho zeh alzeh, gam b'inyan limud, and so on. I'm afraid when they're learning, if it's bothering the other, you're allowed to object, you're allowed to protest. These are the dinim of shchenim. These are the halachas of neighbors. These are the dinim of shutfos. These are the halachas of partners. Who comes first when two people are partners in a halacha? Shevet Levi elsewhere has a series of short tshuvas here on the right-hand column, also going back and forth on these questions. And he says the following. So again, let's summarize his first tshuva. You have competition. One person in shul says it's freezing cold, and if you leave at this frigid temperature, I'm going to get sick. And the other person says, it's so hot, I'm wearing an undershirt and tzitzis and a shirt and a tie and a jacket and a talus. Often this breaks down by gender. Women are freezing. You're freezing us out. And the men say, I'm so hot. And Yom Narayim, you could throw in the kittel as an additional layer. And the men say, I'm so uncomfortable, you got to pump it lower. And the women say, I'm going to get pneumonia, you got to make it higher. Who wins? Says the Shevet HaLevi, if they're both equal members and both have equal access and right to be in shul, then the one who might get sick supersedes the one who just wants to be more comfortable, and therefore you have to allow them to crack the window open in order to gain a level of comfort. That was all his first tshuva. Then here, in Chelek Tes, says the following. They want the fans to run. Some of them want fans on in the summer, others don't. Who wins? Says Shevet HaLevi, it's normal to have fans running in shul today in the summer. It's hot and uncomfortable. So in a shul, where in the summer it's normative to have fans, the minority who the fans are making uncomfortable are not entitled to protest. So someone who doesn't want a fan in the summer, the burden's on them. They're not, it's not that they're too cold, the air conditioning is set too low. Person who doesn't want a fan in the summer is an istinus. That person is hypersensitive. So the burden is on them to distance themselves from the fan. The people who want the fans in shul, they're entitled to their fans in shul. Okay, so that's principle number two. Here he's differentiating not air conditioning set very low where a person could take and get sick and they become the priority over the person who wants the comfort. Now we're talking about somebody who doesn't like the fan. I don't know, it blows on my sitter, I lose the page. The noise in the background, the hum is distracting. It makes me a little chilled, I don't want the fan. The answer is find another seat, but the rest of the shul are entitled to have the fans blowing in the summer months. Number two, ma dinim rak. What about the placement of those fans? Where do you sit? And what is the placement of those fans? Since the fans are in discrete territory, so only the people who want the fans should sit near the fans. And if you don't want the fans, stay away from the fans. But you could, the ones who don't want the fans are not entitled, excuse me, to prevent anyone from having the fans. And lastly, what if people disagree about whether it's warm? Is there a difference in the time of the day? Shacharis, maybe the people who want the fans should win. Mincha Marav, maybe the people who don't want the fans should win. So he says, if you can tolerate the heat, it's asisa hayasher v'atov. It's a beautiful midah to make sure that the others are not too cold and to keep them comfortable. Basically, he says, do what's reasonable. If what's reasonable and understandable and normative, if that you have fans and air conditioning running, then you leave it running. And the burden is on those who are cold to find a seat away from the fan, away from the air conditioning, or wear an extra sweater. But if in fact it's so cold, it's set so cold that people are going to get sick as a result, then the threat and danger of people getting sick supersedes the desire for others who are going to want to be comfortable, because if it's too hot, they're not going to get sick, they'll just be uncomfortable, and we care more about preventing people from being sick than we do about preserving people's level of comfort. So you never knew that halacha had what to say about this debate about controlling the thermostat. So far, we've seen the opinion of Rav Osner of the Shevet Halevi. However, there are other opinions. And this goes back to what Rav Osner alluded to, the Gemara here in Baba Basra. The Gemara here in Baba Basra has a discussion of the laws of neighbors. The laws of neighbors. We're debating about the thermostat, who controls the thermostat. But it doesn't only apply to the thermostat. We appreciate this here, where we have HOAs, we have homeowners associations, who have very strict rules. When do the garbage cans have to be returned, and how often do you have to power wash your roof, and what can you build, and how can you build, and all these other things. So who has the right to determine and dictate to neighbors? So Rav Yosef Havalehanu Ta'ale Dehavu, Rav Yosef had small date palms. Also Umneviyasve Tutayu, blood letters would come and sit under them. Those date palm trees were a perfect place to draw blood. Also Orve Achli Dhamma, the crows would come and they would consume the blood. Visalke Abitale Umafsi de Tamre. So while the bird was there sucking the blood after the blood letters, they would also fly up to the palm trees and ruin the dates. They would smear them with blood. So Amalu Rav Yosef, Afikuli Kurkur Mehacha. Get out of here. Go draw blood somewhere else. I don't want the birds all coming here. So I know it's nice and convenient. My palm trees provide you beautiful shade. Find another place to run your little laboratory. The phlebotomist, find another place to draw blood, because all the blood that you're sprinkling everywhere, you're drawing the blood, the crows, and when they're here, they're destroying my trees. Amale Abai Hagramahu. You're not entitled to tell him to get lost. The fact that he's drawing blood, they're bloodletting here, so that's drawing the birds, and the birds then are damaging. That's indirect damage. It's grama. It's indirect. So you're not liable for indirect damage, grama. So you're not entitled to tell them, go find someplace else to be. Their being there is not causing direct damage. It's causing indirect damage. So later, Rav Yosef said, but this Mishnah says that even grama, even if you're damaging someone else indirectly, it's still aser. So therefore, true, what they're doing is indirect, but indirect damage is also damage. Get lost. So Abai continues, you know, it's nice now you want to wake up in the 11th hour and you want these phlebotomists, you want these blood letters to go find another place to draw the blood, but they have a chazakah. They've been doing it for 3 years. Their parents did it, their grandparents did it, their great-grandparents did it. This is where they set up their bloodletting shop under these palm trees. They've been doing it time immemorial. Who are you to now come and say, because it's indirectly, negatively impacting your palm trees, that they have to leave? They have a chazakah. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Avua, no, ain chazakah l'nezikin. When it comes to damage, there is no chazakah. If l'maisa, if the bottom line is that your behavior now, even if indirect, but is damaging me, I don't really care who has a chazakah. I v'lavit maralar Rav Mari Amar Bekutra, Rav Zvid Amar Besakise. Rav Mari said it applies to smoke, and Rav Zvid said it applies to the outhouse. With regard to all other sources of damage, a chazakah can be established. So Amar Lei, Hani L'didida, Anina Daitai, Kikutra Beskise Damali. Yeah, a delicate matter, like the birds coming and destroying my trees, that's like the smoke or an outhouse where even a chazakah is not going to help. So here the Gemara has this discussion about the neighbor's responsibility or obligation towards one another. Does a chazakah help? Is indirect damage called damage? Are you entitled to tell them to stop because of the way it's impacting you? Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Kuf Nun Hey, records the following. Source number 9, we'll finish with this and pick up with this topic next week. Shulchan Aruch says the following. You have a bloodletting practice. You set up a little laboratory, and the birds, the crows are coming. So what happens when the birds come? Now chirp, 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 chirp. The birds are making incredible noise, and it's bothering your neighbors. Your neighbors want to take a shtickle siesta, a drimmel in the afternoon, and you're running your bloodletting business, and the birds don't stop chirping. They're called tzipor. It comes from the tziporim, tzaf. Tzaf, 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 they're busy, and they chirp, 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 chirp. Or b'dam shiraglayim, shem yoshvim ala ilanos, or because they're spreading the blood on the trees. U'machlim peirosem, they're destroying the fruit. So let's say the neighbor says, I can't take the sounds. I'm sick and I'm getting a migraine from the chirping of the birds that you're attracting with the blood. Or he says, you know, I collect that fruit. The mangoes from that tree are my parnasa. I sell those mangoes. And now my mangoes are destroyed. So the bloodletter has no right. The bloodletter has no defense. The bloodletter has no entitlement, even a chazakah. I don't care how long his family has run that bloodletting business in that spot. If it's damaging a neighbor whose fruit are being ruined or who's getting migraines as a result, they have to distance themselves and go do bloodletting elsewhere. And the same is true, says the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat. Any damage which the neighbor can't tolerate, you have to do elsewhere. The neighbor does not, the burden is not on the neighbor to have to tolerate that damage. So how do you determine what's reasonable, what's unreasonable? Let's say there's a neighbor who's hypersensitive. My kid wants to have piano lessons. And the neighbor says, four doors down, I hear Eppes a little bit of a faint the piano, and it's bothering me. No more piano lessons. Can the neighbor four doors down tell you you can't have piano lessons for your kid because they hear the faint sound of the piano lessons? To what extreme do you go that neighbors can dictate to other neighbors, and how do you determine that they are in fact damaged? What's reasonable, what's not reasonable? So the Rav Chazon Ish here weighs in. With this we conclude, Nira Dein Divrei Rav Asher L'Bo'osa Davar Sheinu Ikar Dira K'ma Bo'osa Ariga K'yotze Bo Shein Zematze B'chol Adam L'Rav B'nei Adam V'mosa Dvarim Sh'Rav B'nei Adam Osim L'Famim Tashmishim V'Diburim Mashmiya Kol Sh'mafriya Zachola Eina Yachol Limchos Afin Hu Chola Kadam. He says if what you're doing is reasonable, understandable, and normative behavior in your own home, then it's okay. So if what you're doing is reasonable, my children go swimming in the backyard. Florida, many homes have pools, and it's normal and reasonable to swim in the backyard, and the children make noise when they splash and have a good time, then even if my neighbor says, I can't stand the sound of children having fun, the neighbor can't dictate for my children to have to go inside. But let's say I'm going to blast my speaker in the backyard at the top sound, beyond what's reasonable, what's acceptable, what's normative behavior, and now in fact it's really disturbing, then the neighbor can supersede and I have to lower the music. So what's normative to do, what's reasonable to do in your own living space, you're allowed to do, and the other person has to adjust to you. What's unreasonable to do in your own living space, and again, each time, each place, each community, each HOA has to determine that, I guess, democratically for themselves. Then the neighbor who's the injured party has the right to determine. So next week we'll see several tshuvas that take all of this and apply it to exactly our question. We'll see it about a yeshiva dormitory and the Beis Medrash. We'll see it about the shul. We'll see husbands and wives in home who are fighting. Shalom bayis breaking down over the thermostat. Colder, warmer, doesn't, it depends, menopause or manopause. You're too hot, you're too cold, you're making it too hot, you're too cold. Who wins? Who gets to have control of the thermostat? This is actually an issue, an area of halacha, and we'll pick up with it, please God, next week.